I Eat Green with Bhavani, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another wonderful Wednesday afternoon. I am Bhavani, and I'm talking to you from IE Green. And I am doing this from home for the very first time, and I have an echo. So anyway, that's much better. Good, I couldn't really talk. Having an echo, and that was causing some problems. So anyway, welcome everybody to another beautiful Wednesday. It's so weird that it's dark now. I'm so used to doing this in the daylight and the afternoon, and now I want to say welcome to another beautiful evening. So today is the eve of Thanksgiving, and it is really a wonderful holiday. It's one of the only holidays, actually, that all of us celebrate together. It's really one of those holidays that everybody shares, and so it's really nice to gather with family and friends this time of year and to take a moment from the creation and to really be thankful, to think about all the things in our life that we love, that, you know, feeds us, and to appreciate what we have going on in our life. And, I know I will be having guests starting to arrive this evening and staying over the weekend, and we just go from one gathering, usually around food, to the next, and it's really a full, lovely weekend. So I wanted to let you know today I have a wonderful guest and dear friend on the show with me. His name is Swami Durgadas, and this is his second time coming on. And I asked him to come today because every year, the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, I celebrate or begin to celebrate the holiday season by cooking for the homeless with a whole slew of community, friends, and an effort that is just extraordinary. And what happens is I put the word out through email blasts, to people, and I also have a dear friend who organizes lots of ladies in the area to cook turkeys. And I also cook turkeys in my oven. It's, as a vegetarian, it's always a challenge to cook a turkey, but it's pretty basic. Joy of cooking does wonders when it comes to that. And I believe I cooked 19 turkeys, and I had 26 turkeys delivered cooked already to my house. And then I have people showing up in the evenings to carve the turkeys, and we carved 45 turkeys. And during the day I had, different people coming, going. It's basically an open-door policy, and people just come in, and we wash 200 pounds of potatoes in my bathtubs. Of course, I clean the bathtubs out first. And then 200 pounds of sweet potatoes, 3 cases of string beans. And for weeks beforehand, I get in touch with some of the same vendors year after year who donate a lot of these goods. And I've had the Men and Women's Real Estate Association partner with me for the last 3 years. And they also send people in different shifts. And we basically cook a full Thanksgiving feast for the homeless. From everything, from the turkey to the stuffing to the garlic mashed potatoes to the sweet potatoes, the orange, to fresh cranberry relish, to string beans, vinaigrette. We did fresh buttermilk biscuits this time, and we also did 48 pumpkin pies. So we did all that, and then people meet at my house Tuesday morning, and we head off to Rufus King Park in Jamaica, Queens, and we set up a huge buffet line, and other people show up and meet us at the park to help do the shifts. Meanwhile, all month long, we've been doing a huge coat drive to collect coat and other winter accessories. And so we have, you know, coats and winter accessories up on the gazebo that we hand out to people, and we, you know, serve people full Thanksgiving feasts. And, you know, children are serving people who are in need along with the adults, and it's just such a wonderful high. And I thought, how perfect to invite Swami Durgadas to come back on the air the day after this experience and be able to share that energy with all of you. And so I'll be excited to invite him on in just a few minutes. But first, a couple of weeks ago, I gave you my stuffed pumpkin recipe, which is my centerpiece dinner for my Thanksgiving as a vegetarian. And so I want to give you some of my side dishes to go along with that, so that if you are preparing a Thanksgiving dinner tomorrow evening and you want to make some of the side dishes vegetarian, these are some really great recipes, and all of them are quite easy. So I'm going to share with you my cranberry relish recipe, my stuffing recipe, and my sweet potato recipe. And all of these recipes will be available on the website of Progressive Radio Network by tomorrow, so you can check those out. Also, if you have any questions, you can always send me an email at Bhavani, B-H-A-V-A-N-I, at iegreen.com, and I'd be happy to answer you. So the cranberry relish recipe. First, you want to start with one package of organic, fresh cranberries, 1 cup of organic cranberry cocktail juice, 1 cup of chopped walnuts, 1 cup of maple syrup, and zest from 1 orange. And in a large pot, you're going to bring the cranberries to a boil in the cranberry juice, along with the maple syrup. Reduce the heat and cook for 5 minutes, just until the cranberries start to pop, and then turn the heat off. You don't want to overcook them because they get mushy. Then you're going to add the walnuts and the orange zest and just cover it and let it sit for 5 minutes. And what happens is it kind of congeals a little bit. And as it cools, that happens even more and it gets thicker. And it's just a fresh, delicious side dish. You know, I'm not a big fan of those cranberry molds that people do all the time, or the cranberry gel that comes right out of a can. I think it's pretty awful. So this is a really wonderful cranberry relish. And this is probably, this one recipe is, you know, enough for 12 people. So, you know, people don't usually eat a lot of it, so that should be fine. Then I want to share with you my stuffing recipe. And I use a stuffing recipe that I make with fresh burdock root, mushrooms, apples, and pecans. So it's a Thanksgiving stuffing with burdock, mushrooms, apples, and pecans. And you can start with 1 package of Arrowhead Mills or Chatham Village stuffing mix. You know, if you don't want to start with the stuffing mix, you of course can, you know, dry out your own bread and use some fresh herbs to create the same thing. But now that good packaged stuffing is available, I recommend going with that and then putting some of your energies towards some of the other dishes. So 1 package of the Arrowhead Mills stuffing mix, 1.5 cups of vegetable broth, 1/3 cup olive oil or butter, plus 2 tablespoons, 2 10-inch pieces of burdock root grated, 1 onion chopped, 2 Gala apples or Granny Smith apples cored and cubed, 2 portobello mushrooms chopped, 3/4 cup chopped pecans, and then fresh herbs like thyme, rosemary, sage, parsley. So I'm going to bring the vegetable broth to a boil along with the butter or oil, and then you add the stuffing mix. Stir, cover it, and let it sit for 5 minutes. Meanwhile, in 2 tablespoons of olive oil, saute burdock root on a low flame for about 10 minutes. You're going to add the onions and saute for another 5 minutes. Add the apples and cook for another 5 minutes. Then add the pecans. Add the vegetables to the stuffing mix and mix it well. And add the fresh herbs. And then when you bake it in the oven for about 20 minutes at 350, all those flavors come together. And it can bake even a little longer. 20 minutes, 30 minutes, it's fine. All the flavors come together. So What you can do is wait to bake it until right before dinner, and then stick it in the oven and bake it. I like to bake it in a glass Pyrex dish as opposed to in a metal dish. I just like it better. Or a ceramic dish is fine, too. And that is it. You can bake it covered and then take the cover off for the last 5 minutes so that the top gets a little crispy. And that's the burdock mushrooms recipe. And then the last one is the sweet potato recipe that I do, which is I start with garnet yams. Now, garnet yams are by far the sweetest, most delicious of all the yams. People ask me what the difference between sweet potatoes and yams are, and honestly, I'm not really sure. It seems to be interchangeable. But the garnet yams are by far the sweetest. And you want to cut it into quarters, along with a half a cup of orange juice you will need, 2 tablespoons maple syrup, 1 teaspoon honey, I'm sorry, 1 teaspoon cinnamon, 1/2 teaspoon salt, 2 tablespoons unsalted butter, and 1/2 cup of crushed pineapple. Then in a large pot, you're going to steam the yams until soft, about 20 minutes, and then drain them. Return the yams to a pot, add the orange juice, the maple syrup, and the butter, and puree it with, you can use a Braun stick mixer. I talked about that the other day, too. They're just great. Otherwise, you can always do it in a food processor. Add the cinnamon and the salt, and then you can add 1/2 cup of crushed pineapple at the very end. And that is it. Super simple, super easy, really, really delicious. Okay. Now I'd like to invite Durga Das to come on. Durga Das, are you there?
Honey.
Hello, Durga Das. How are you?
Good. Yourself?
Very good. I just wanted to have you on today because I knew it would be the day after our big annual event, which is always a highlight of my year. And I wanted to share that with all of my listeners. So welcome. How are you recovering after yesterday?
We're doing pretty good. We had some pickups from Trader Joe's and some deliveries, so we went into our next day mode. As you know, it doesn't stop.
I know. I had to wake up first thing this morning. I had to return all the thermal caddies that I had borrowed. One of the things that always amazes me is when I pull this together, all the efforts from so many people, it's really amazing. Agency Party Rentals, lends me a lot of their thermal caddies. Whole Foods donated all of those organic cranberries that I used. John's Market donated, 50-pound case of potatoes and 50 pounds of sweet potatoes. Inter-county bakeries, they donated all 48 pie shells. And you got the organic pumpkin donated this year.
From a company in Maine. They actually came to the city and they brought in a frozen truck, Gen Undo it's called, and the organic company, and they gave us all those 30-gallon tubs of organic pumpkin.
It was amazing. I'd never seen such a huge container of pureed pumpkin, and knowing that it was organic, just how wonderful is that to be able to serve high-quality food to the people in the park who are not used to getting this food.
100%.
Yeah. They can taste the difference. Real butter, real half and half. It's not food that I promote eating every day of the week, but, it's certainly a wonderful treat to have on occasion.
Well, it's interesting that, when we were talking yesterday, and it's a really, we have probably 50, 60 volunteers or plus, it's a very organized, it wasn't even chaotic, it was very organized, and I told you this is one of my favorite days of the year, Christmas being the other and Easter the other, and it's not because I celebrate holidays, I was never a big holiday person, but it's turned out that the holidays, what they represent in the turnaround and helping people, they became my favorite days. And what I told you there, and you answered me, and you said, well, this is one of my favorite days to share with you. It's my favorite day because of what we do, but because of what you do, more importantly. And it's not because we're on the radio show, but it's what you bring to that day. I mean, we share the same values in really respecting and honoring people and giving them the best that we can. And I have to tell you, I heard you doing the cranberry recipe, and anyone who is listening, I would definitely try the recipe because I took a little side dish for myself for later because I'm a vegetarian, and the cranberry was out of this world, along with the tofu dish.
Well, that's something also that, you know, I go to all this effort making, you know, like I said, I carved 45 turkeys. You know, and as a vegetarian, having all that turkey in my house is really not my cup of tea, but I do because I know that's what people want, and that's representative of the holiday. And yet, there's always one or two people that, you know, I know don't take the turkey because they're vegetarian. And it's so wonderful to know that I have, you know, tofu cutlets, you know, breaded with panko flakes, you know, with a portobello mushroom marsala gravy that I can give them. And then all the other side dishes are vegetarian. And so, and of course, half of our helpers seem to be vegetarian. So a lot of the tofu I'm making for us. But it's really, you know, it's just so important to really think of everybody's needs when you're cooking for a large group of people.
Well, you know, and I noticed how we run the, you know, our on-site pantry and our mobile programs. When we started this, you know, being a vegetarian, I don't, you know, really eat meat, but so they said, well, would you take chicken in and, you know, and things of that nature? And I said, of course. I said, you know what? I said, I may be a vegetarian. That's my belief. But, you know, I'm not here to impart my belief. I'm here to try to help you from food insufficiency. And therefore, to me, it's like, you know, that's why I love it all in the sense of giving it all, you know, and not imparting anything that I think of, but rather just sharing who we are with each other. So it has become one of my favorite days. The next one, which will also be there for Christmas, is Christmas. I think that day is another day that's over the top because that makes the kids really happy as well, aside from all the food and everything else.
I know. It's the spirit. You know, all the volunteers, they actually, last couple of years, we've been organizing Christmas caroling in the park while the people are getting their food. And, you know, my husband usually, as you know, dresses up to be Santa. And it's just, you know, always a wonderful day. But going back to Thanksgiving and the idea of being thankful and giving back, can you please share with everybody that's listening who might not have caught our show the last time you were on, tell them about the River Fund and what you do at your food pantry, because it's extraordinary. I mean, I do this, you know, a handful of times a year, but you live this. You do this day in and day out, and it's remarkable to me. So tell me about the River Fund.
Well, River Fund New York was started back in 1990, and we were really worked in care facilities with HIV and AIDS. The original, the mother River Fund is in Florida with Ma, and they have, they do their service there and have an orphanage. But here in New York, we started in 90 and I really worked with people living with HIV and AIDS. And so we did more like in-house parties. And probably about 10 years ago, we went, I remember one of the volunteers who does all our grants as a volunteer, she said, do you want to partner or try to partner with a food bank? So we went about really going to do that, and she said, you'll have to have sign-in sheets. So that immediately threw me in. It's another thing to do. But we did it, and it's been one of the best partnerships we've ever done. I mean, they're a wonderful organization, City Harvest as well. So what we do is here every Saturday we have on-site client choice pantry where the client comes in and chooses the items of food that's on our shelving, and it goes according to protein, carbs, beverage. And then we've been fortunate enough with the food bank to bring in about 30,000 pounds of produce a week.
30,000 pounds a week.
Which I have to tell you the side note of that one. The first time it came, I absolutely freaked out because I thought, oh, my God, what do I do with extra carrots? What do I do with onions? What do I do with potatoes? They're all going to go bad. So I did have a month of kind of, you know, this inner panic. But, you know, I found out that in the time, we've been doing about 4 months now, and I have to say that everything goes. I mean, it's one of those amazing things to me that people are in such great need. It saves them a great deal of money. They can cook for a week with potatoes, and, you know, it's all fresh, great produce. And this week we'll be getting, like, sweet potatoes. We'll be getting potatoes, onions, and apples. And alongside everything else we get bread from Trader Joe's and other stuff. We just literally came back from Trader Joe's, and they donated probably about 100 cooked chickens that we immediately put in the fridges and freezers. And so clients come, they show up, and everyone's served. No one's turned away, ID or not. Because in our belief, anyone who's going to wait on a line, for even at the park, somebody said, well, you know, do all these people really need it? One of the volunteers actually said it, and I looked at them and I said, well, would you wait on a line for an hour for a hot turkey meal? I mean, I would imagine most people would not. They go home, they eat, or they'll go out to eat, so you're not going to wait on a line, although I would wait on a line for your turkey dinner. That's a different story. But for waiting on a line, you would not. You know, would you wait? They wait on our pantry line close to an hour and a half by the time we've done serving. And so to me, it's anybody who would wait needs something. This last Saturday, we broke our own record. We served over 674 people, I think, and we stopped counting. And everyone got a chicken, a turkey, chicken or a turkey, depending on family size. They got some peaches, and then they got all the produce. We had organic vitamins from Nourish America in California. And so it was really a very thankful Thanksgiving. And then we have two mobile programs, the one that we do together in at Rufus King Park in Jamaica, and that's the first and third Tuesday. And then our other program is in Nathan's in Brooklyn in Coney Island. We do that the second and fourth Saturday of every month as well. And we do a table model at those programs, which means we set up a table and we put all our products on a table, and the clients can come and choose what they want.
So you have to bring everything from the food pantry to the location in Coney Island?
Exactly. What we do is we take a truck and sometimes a van and then another station wagon, and we fill it up with enough product to do the number that goes there. The numbers in both of those programs have increased to where the park now does over 200-plus. I know we served over 400 yesterday in our count. And
people were asking me, and I wasn't sure how many people.
It was definitely
we ran out of pumpkin pie, and when I did the math, you know, 48 pies times 8 pieces per pie, you know, it's just shy 400. So I knew we had, you know, up there in the numbers.
No, we tipped past 400 and probably 4.5. So we definitely, and then we stopped counting at one point. We didn't have enough sheets to sign. So we do a sign-in sheet. And the only reason for the sign-in sheet is, first, that's how we're accountable to the government. We get some EFAP food and the food bank. They tag our numbers by how many we put in on the calendar every month. So we count all our numbers and submit them. And our numbers have been growing and growing as the food demand grows. Also, the food has kind of it was going down for a while. It's picked up somewhat. So we always try to raise food on all through all different methods. So like today, we just got a call from Feed the Children, and one of our donor companies, ASAP, they're a freight company. They're going to pick up a tractor trailer of, I think it's 12 pallets of cereal, and it'll be pallets of books and some presents to give out at Christmas, so that'll be nice as well.
Yeah, it's so nice. I mean, sometimes, you know, I know when I'm cooking and people say, can you use another turkey, and use another turkey, even though I already know, I mean, like, we had way more turkey than we needed. I sent you back with, you know, I think 4 flats of turkey left over. But, you know, I never want to say no, because I know you do such a wonderful job of distributing it after that. Not only the 4 trays of turkey that I had left over, but one of our, one of the men from the Real Estate Association has some connections and gets donated turkeys as well. And we had 30 turkeys on top of the 45 turkeys that we cooked. We had 30 cooked, carved turkeys delivered to the park that you distributed to other shelters.
Well,
where did those go?
on that note, I mean, that was an incredible donation. Aside from what was left over, then those, I was amazed by all the turkey. I thought, oh, my Lord. But we really were, this year, we really searched for a couple places that were really in need, and we found several. One was, it's a program that runs for, it's a respite site, and they have sites all over the city, but they have several here in Queens and Brooklyn. And what they do is they're shelters for people to come in at night and to get some shelter. They have no cooking facilities, so they really can't feed people, but they can heat some stuff up. They have microwaves, things like that, but they can't cook. So what we did is we provided them with, well, I didn't provide through the generous donation. We provided all the turkey, the entire turkey dinner. They were amazed that they could actually feed everybody. That was one organization which does several respites. And then the other one was, it's a shelter for drug and alcohol rehabilitation. And they're also very underfunded, and they were cut from their funding because they don't, in other words, to be part of the food bank, you have to be where you give out the food, where you serve it, unless you're a soup kitchen. And they're neither. They're in-house. So we managed to do two of their shelters with the food as well.
Uh-huh. Amazing.
So it was actually an incredible year that what your reach was actually beyond the, you know, close to 500 at the park, but I would say that probably a fair amount more of several hundred, at least more, that go to different shelters and facilities. So it was actually
I told you this, that with all those 45 turkeys, I just couldn't bear throwing all those carcasses out. So I, of course, had to make turkey soup. And my pot, even though I have a huge pot, I don't know how many gallons the pot holds, but it must be at least a 10-gallon pot, I would think. It's a huge pot. And I kept putting the carcasses in, and then, you know, there wasn't room for more, so I was rotating the carcasses, taking some carcasses out, putting more carcasses in. You know, when they would fall apart, I'd take them out, figure the flavors out of those, take them out, put new ones in. And I, you know, and I had no way of cooling it. You know, and food handling, for anyone who's listening, is a pet peeve of mine, something I'm really, really careful about, because, you know, we are covered by the Good Samaritan Act. You know, you're allowed to... you're allowed to give food away that you cook, that you have cooked the same way you would cook for your family, and you're covered by the Good Samaritan Act. You know, nobody's going to try to, you know, I know I'm cooking it. It's not a health-approved kitchen. You know, when I'm cooking for clients and, you know, jobs, I'm either cooking in people's house or I rent a kitchen. But this opportunity, you know, everybody's coming to my house day in, day out. You can't rent something like that. So I know that I'm covered by the Good Samaritan Act. And yet you want to let everyone know that it's so important to cool the food really well. When you
right.
have a 10-gallon or however many – no, it has to be way more than 10-gallon. What am I saying? We had 12 gallons of the – so it has to be at least a 20-gallon pot. I mean, it is really huge. And there's no way to cool that, you know, so – I don't, not even if, even if I had a walk-in refrigerator here, which I don't have anymore, I used to, you know, there's no way to cool such a large pot. So I cooked it all night long to keep it hot. And right. then I brought it, when we left my house to come to the park to meet you, that huge pot, which required two people to carry it out to my friend's car, she drove it directly to the Inn, which is the Interfaith Nutrition Network.
Yeah, we love that.
Right, and she drove it right there in Hempstead to Mary Brennan Soup Kitchen, and they put it right out and served it right there that day, yesterday for lunch. And they fed, you know, probably over 400 people with that soup.
Amazing.
I mean, there's so much soup. So, and, you know, people were looking at me as I'm, like, you know, straining the soup and having people pick the meat off the carcasses. And, you know, we had, like, you know, 150 pounds of potatoes we're dealing with and all this thing. And I'm, like, having people sit around because I had people. So I was, like, having them pick the meat off the carcass and then looking at and pick the carrots out of the broth cut up to put in there. And they're looking at me going, Bhavani, we have so much else to do. What are you doing? And I just, I can't throw food out. You know, when I know there's hungry people, how can we throw that away? I mean, we fed probably 400 people with that soup that would have been in the garbage.
Well, you know, it's amazing because I just came back, and we also do food stamp applications here with HRA 3 days a week. And when I came back, you know, Trader Joe's called me, and I was like, I'm like a little kid in a candy store. It's like you think what I'm getting, but it was like I know that that's going to go somewhere, that there's someone who's in need. And, you know, to speak on that note, it was like, you know, I know it's Thanksgiving and everyone comes, you know, it's a great time to give, and it's a great time everyone comes out, but you know, I was touched this year by how many people on our line here, and even on Tuesday, it's like we're asking, well, will you be open on Saturday, meaning this Thanksgiving tomorrow? And their concern is not so much that they're going to get something for Thanksgiving, which they're grateful for, but are you going to be open Saturday? Because you know what? I need food Saturday. You know, I'm going to eat. I may eat, you know, if I'm having it, but am I going to get more? You know, so it's really... You know, it's amazing that in, you know, in New York and all around the country that there is this need and this growing need of food insufficiency. So, you know, I implore anyone who's listening, you know, Thanksgiving, yes, do it. You know, go out there and make a, you know, do something like, as you said in the email, go pass and do something outside of your normal routine. You know, I want to ask everyone if you'll actually go another step and take that and go beyond Thanksgiving and do something out of a normal routine other than the holiday, because, you know, the need, I think it goes between, I think it's 500,000, 600,000 children live in insufficient food homes, which means that they go without a meal in, you know, in New York. And then there's 1.something million, you know, food insufficiency households. And seniors, as you noticed on our line yesterday, and even here, the number kind of is staggering how many seniors are coming, because I don't think their income reaches, you know, throughout the month. It doesn't reach them where they can, you know, keep themselves going for a month. So, you know, it's to really implore everybody to go beyond Thanksgiving and continue. You know, volunteering or serving is really kind of a selfish, you know, routine in a sense, or job, because, you know, through it you get back. Anyone who does anything at Thanksgiving, you know that at the end of it you feel incredible. So imagine if you continued that feeling all year round and continued giving all year round, what you'd feel like. So I really implore everyone to really go beyond even this holiday, as I wish you had this healthy holiday. So, and Bhavani, I know you do that with me, and it's incredible. I mean, it really, that gift of giving really is a fairly an amazing transfer of an act of, through food, what it does, you know, what it really creates.
I love to do it, but more is I love to get everybody else doing it. And
I agree.
It's contagious, you know.
And it is contagious.
It's like when you start doing it, you want to do it more. It's,
yeah.
And so we actually need to take a few-minute break. But when we come back, I want to talk about food recovery, because that's something that everybody can do. I heard an astounding statistic the other day that 40% of the food that's cooked for consumption ends up in the garbage.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll take a break and come back in a few minutes.
Okay.
You are listening to PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
Hello, this is Eric Ochsner, your host of the best jazz show on the air on Progressive Radio Network, Eric's Sounds of Jazz, every Friday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I play the best jazz ever recorded by Louis, Sidney, Bessie, Billy, and all the others. Remember, Progressive Radio Network, Eric's Sounds of Jazz, every Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
I'm Elaine Schnepfe, host producer of Evolving Ideas, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and global on the Internet. Join me each week on the Progressive Radio Network to explore the universe and our relationship to it.
Hi, I'm Eric Davis, host of Expanding Mind. Join me and co-host Maja Daou each week as we explore the culture of consciousness, spirituality, neuroscience, media tech, and all manner of wonders and esoterica. Expanding Mind streams every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Progressive Radio Network. Keep your mind open.
The Progressive Radio Network is looking to expand its programming, and we are looking for your ideas. If there's a subject that you are passionate about and we don't cover it, let us know. Give us a call at 646-307-4482 or email our program director, Karalee@GaryKnoll.com. That's KARALEE@GaryKnoll.com. The Progressive Radio Network, the number one forum for progressive minds.
Freedom News Hour will bring you up to date on the latest news on the financial meltdown.
Begin restoring local communities. It can happen.
We'll be exploring the issues from a freedom-oriented, small government perspective.
I'm Walt Thiessen.
I'm Melinda Pillsbury Foster.
I am Jake Towne.
Join us live Thursday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com.
This is PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
Everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to Bhavani at ieatgreen.com. I want to thank you for joining us again this evening. It is another wonderful Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, and we are gearing up for Thanksgiving feast tomorrow in our home, as I'm sure all of you are, and I hope you heard the recipes that I shared with you earlier. But right now I'm talking with a dear friend of mine, Swami Durga Das, who runs the food pantry called River Fun New York. And it is a food pantry located in Jamaica, Queens. And if you want to find out more information about it, the website is www.riverfund-ny.org. And Swami, are you there with me?
Yes, I am, Avani.
Hi, welcome back.
Thank you.
So right before we took our break, we started touching on the issue of food recovery and the amount of waste that happens in this country while people are hungry. And, you know, the amount of kids you also touched on that are living in poverty and that do not have food security is astonishing in a country as rich and full of opportunity as ours. And so, you know, it's really something that I really implore people to participate in and find a place that you can bring leftover food to. No food to go into the garbage, you know, no food. And even the vegetables that, you know, when I'm cooking, you know, I'm either putting things into the compost so it becomes dirt again, or I'm turning it into a soup stock. You know, I try to minimize how much I throw out all the time in everything. And so right now I am working with through a JCC on a program called From Our Table to Yours. And it's basically just a food recovery program. And what it does is it provides a list of 12 local shelters, and you're actually on the list as well, places that people can call up and say, listen, I had a party last night, I have all these leftovers, can you use them? And when I called the inn today to, you know, make sure they got the soup and that they were able to use it, he's told me that they have 40 different shelters that, you know, if a family just wants to cook a meal for 20 and deliver it to a shelter, they can do that. They can bring it to, well, they bring it to the inn because of privacy issues. They don't actually go right to the shelter, but they can deliver to the inn and they'll bring it to a shelter where there's people that are hungry. So nothing should go in the garbage, and there's always ways that people can help, like you said, year round. So I want to know, how does the River Fund work with clients to, other than giving them food, Are there any organizations that you work with or things that you can tell listeners to do to help deal with the food security issues?
Well, I know that City Harvest is a large, and most of us have probably seen their trucks drive around the city, and they're an incredible organization that actually retrieves food. I mean, that's actually what they do, and they deliver it to us. I know we personally receive them twice a week. On Fridays, we get two deliveries, and literally, when we're done with this phone call, I'll actually leave late tonight, and we're going to go pick up plantains from a church that got a delivery from City Harvest, and so we'll get cases of them. In that case, but the retrievable food, City Harvest, if you either know of a business or if it's a certain kind of amount or a route, they'll actually go and we go to Trader Joe's ourselves, but they actually go to Trader Joe's. They'll make the stops at Costco and all the different places to actually retrieve food. They're a wonderful organization that does a really great job so that a lot of that stuff doesn't go to waste, because there is obviously a lot of waste in that. We work with a couple of businesses that give us their, and as you said, you know, about not being the Good Samaritan Act, so where you're not responsible. So it actually gives a business, you know, but how you store it and all that is important, is absolutely as important as the rest. So, but City Harvest is probably the premier organization that does a lot of that recycling and, you know, really going for food that would normally be discarded.
Right. On Long Island, we have a sister partner, I guess, called Island Harvest.
Exactly.
And it does the same thing, but sometimes they need larger quantities, or because they're also volunteer-based. Sometimes they don't have enough people. So it's really great for people to also know pantries and shelters that they can go to directly, because sometimes it's just not enough volunteers, or call up Island Harvest and volunteer with them to be one of their drivers and pick up food and help recover.
I mean, anyone can usually call 311. I don't know anyone call 311 and they'll give you a list. I know we're on their list. They'll give you a list of pantries or soup kitchens, or even if you want to volunteer, they usually will refer you to someone or someplace to do that, both to volunteer and food, and they'll give you an organization that accepts that.
Right. Well, also this year, when I asked people to cook the turkeys and bring them to my house, along with it, I did send out instructions on safe food handling, because last year, you know, I felt like there was, you know, one batch of turkey that was not fresh, and I was able to catch it. I know what to look for, and I threw it out, and we didn't serve it, thank God, to anybody. But it made me aware that, you know, there's people that don't know. They, you know, one person came to me last year, and it could have been that person, said, "Oh yeah, it's been sitting out for 2 days defrosting in my garage," and it's like, no, you can't leave it out. You know, you need to defrost it in your refrigerator. It has to stay at a certain temperature. So, or you have, if it's still frozen, you need to, you know, put it into a cold bath water in your sink and bring it down. And then I'm also, you know, what another pet peeve or thing that I'm really, really careful about is, you know, contamination. I mean, you know, from poultry especially, the risk of salmonella is so high. So, you know, when I'm finished, you know, I do a bleach water and, you know, clean everything up really, really well, because I don't want any remnants of turkey anywhere, you know. So cross-contamination is very, very prevalent, and it's one of the ways that, you know, those kind of things spread. So you have to be very careful.
And that's for your home as well. I mean, what you're speaking really is to all of us who are home. It's the same process for all of us in our kitchens and everywhere. So more so when we go to the public, but it's for us personally as well.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So I also wanted to ask about your food pantry. Do you see a large growth since the, you know, right now we're, I think, at 9.5% of unemployment. Do you see a different type of clientele coming to your food pantry, or is it still basically the same population that you've been dealing with?
Well, you know, in the past probably year, we've probably, you know, you don't want to say your agency has grown, you know, and for this situation, but unfortunately, our agent, you know, our small little volunteer-based operations here has, you know, really hiked probably by 25%. And I would probably say that, you know, the largest increase is for working people, people who do have jobs, and they're just not making enough to handle the rent, to handle the, you know, children, to handle just all of the expenses that come to all of us in the daily, and they're not. Literally last night, I got a call from someone who said it was a teacher, and she said, "Would you help out this family? I can't be the contact because it was obviously a teacher, but she heard that the family was struggling." So last night around 8 o'clock, the mom called her up, and she said she couldn't come get it. She has 4 kids under the age of 11, and we went there and we filled up the card from turkeys to stuffing to toys. And she called me back 10 minutes later. I think she was so overwhelmed that we got there. She called back literally in tears, that she was just amazed, you know, that someone would think about her and would make her Thanksgiving. Cutest kids, I mean, all of them. So, of course, we got their sizes and everything for Christmas. But the number really is working families. And because we really like the component of advocacy. I mean, you know, we have a pantry line, but we want to really move past the pantry line. We really want you to try to become as self-sufficient, which is not an easy thing to do in this culture. For those people who have jobs and an income, it's hard enough to keep it together. So when you don't, how do you get to that place? So just through our food stamp outreach, we've heard, I mean, every case you can think of, you know, moms who, you know, don't have food on the table, seniors who can't make the ends. So the number has increased by 25%. Our Saturday program, when we first started, probably the 8 or 7 years ago, I remember when we first started, because most of it was mobile outreach, we got 35 people, and I thought, oh, my God, this is overwhelming. What do we do? You know, because I thought that was, like, a large number.
Right.
And our Saturdays now on an average do between probably the high end of 400 to 500, you know, a week. And that's that amount of food to give out, you know, where everyone comes according to their family size, enough food for 3 days for three people, for three people for 3 days of worth of food for three meals.
Another thing that I was very impressed with was when I came to your actual location in Richmond Hill, you actually had a nutritionist there set up a table and was teaching the clients who came through about nutrition, and I thought that was great. Does she still come to your subscription?
They do still come. They came twice a month, and then now they'll probably come once a month because it gets a little colder, more in and outdoors. And the other thing, who the listeners are, I mean, we have a program, a small facility, you know, so it's outdoors. I mean, we're half in and half outdoors. So people wait on a line in the cold and the rain and the heat. We hope to change that within the next 3 years and by getting a larger facility so we can work, you know, better, be even more efficient than we are now. But we do have a nutritionist, and our goal really is to really give, I mean, I'd love to give organic and the best of everything, but it's prohibitive. But we try to do, even the food bank and all the organizations in EFAP, which is the government food funding, they now, their regulations are now called the HPNAP standard, where there is less salt, less components in their food that they're trying to give to the pantries to give out. So the nutritionists are here. We do have a staff of, we do have another person who is in she's a homeopath and she does organic. All our vitamins are that we give out monthly vitamins to kids and adults and seniors. We just got a shipment of all natural organic for migraines if someone has a migraine or arthritis. And it all comes from Nourish America, which is out in California, and all their contacts. So we literally got a pallet of that today, and the dates are to 2011. And our clients, especially the seniors for arthritis, is an incredible, they just love the product. So our goal is to become more and more where we really do nutrition is, you know, a better balanced meal. Although we do occasionally give out snacks. We do give snacks from, which is okay because we all have our treats here and there.
Right. Well, our real goal and our real dream, I know you and I have talked about it before, is to have a facility that can also have a daycare center and can have a cafe where you can pay what you can afford and where you can come in for the food pantry and where we really help teach advocacy. And, you know, that's not something that people just automatically know. And for those of my listeners who do know about advocacy, so often through the organization Slow Food USA, you know, they're wonderful. So is moveon.org. You know, these organizations that will send you emails and tell you the issues that are important right now so that you can take some action.
Right.
And we all need to take action because the people that do get the action together are like the Rifle Association. They, you know, when they send out an email for people to call their senators to make guns legal, they get the calls, you know?
They do get the calls.
When we send out emails to, like, call your senator to, like, support the Child Nutrition Act, I don't think people are calling.
Well,
really important.
I have to tell you on that note, I come from a generation where I'm in my 60s, and it's like, I don't know, I was definitely political in some regards, but it was like a little lethargic as I got older. It's more the, and I have in the last, you know, they're presently trying to take the food stamps back down, the amount, and the Child Nutrition Act to pass it is an important goal of the food bank. And the food bank really is a very large component politically as being an activist. And it does require that, and it does require all of us to pay attention and call and vote and do all those things that do matter. You know, it is an important thing to do. And I love our goal because it is really to get a facility where we have a cafe and where we have, like, during the summer months when there's no school, a lot of those kids who normally would get, and I'm not saying they're the best meals, but at least it would be something, they don't get those meals. They don't have that. So we want to be able to at some point provide those meals. And, you know, we were talking before about, you know, nutrition. You know, when a child is heavy and, you know, you think he's heavy, he's eating too much, it's really one of malnutrition because it's not eating good food. I mean, some could be but it's really they're picking chips because it's cheaper over an apple. You know, and it is eventually to give out cooking classes, how to cook. Well, you know, we had a client who came in for, I forgot what it was, one kind of bean. They had no clue what it was. And, you know, it's to really educate people on what food is, what nutrition is, how to better utilize those things that are out there.
Well, one person went through the line yesterday and tasted a string bean. She goes, oh, my God. She goes, I've never had a string bean before. Oh, my God. This is so. She was so excited by how delicious the string bean was. I said, wait. And I just went to the end of the line. I got a whole plate and filled a whole plate with just string beans.
Yeah.
And gave her just about, we had so many string beans. Oh, my God.
We
gave her
a
whole plate of just string beans, you know, on top of her plate of everything else. Because, you know, they don't get access to good vegetables. And for most kids, the vegetables that they do taste are the ones from school that come out of a can
right. That
are disgusting. And so kids grow up thinking that they don't like vegetables because the vegetables are terrible. And that's why so much of the work I'm trying to do of getting kids into the garden and farming so they can see where the vegetables come from and taste the vegetable right off the vine, there's nothing like it. And then they like vegetables.
No, and when kids pick it and do it, there's a different interest, you know, because they've done it. So they have a new love.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and when we talk about also the Child Nutrition Act, which is, you know, up for reauthorization right now, I actually don't know the latest, you know, whether it passed or not. There's also what they were trying to do is in order to fund the Child Nutrition Act and to give a big 5 cents more per child, even though we were trying to push for a dollar, they were looking to take it from food stamps.
Well, that's the point. Right.
And it's so absurd. I mean, to take it from one starving place to give to another starving place doesn't make sense. To take it from, you know, the military or take it from somewhere that they spend a lot of money already.
100%.
Yeah. It's just, you know, they take from the poor and it's just heartbreaking. So anyway, I just want to thank you for the work that you do, Swami. It is just tremendous. You're really making a difference in so many people's lives. And will you please just share with everybody again your website and tell people how, if they want to make a tax-exempt donation to your organization, they can do that.
Thank you, Bonnie. It's www.riverfund, RIVERFUND-NY.org. Or you can call it 718-441-1125. We love donations because that's how we operate.
Wonderful. And well, thank you so much and for joining us. And everybody, I wish you all the most blissful, peace-loving Thanksgiving that is possible. Have a wonderful, wonderful holiday, and I'll see you all next Wednesday.